you're not come to the mount that burned with fire, but you're come to Mount Zion, under the city of the living God. You that have been coming into the presence of God, you're not come to that mount in the wilderness. You're come to a holy mountain. You're come to Mount Zion. And he's going to describe Mount Zion for you, where you've come to. You've come unto the city of the living God. You've come to the city whose citizens are citizens of heaven. You've come to your hometown. How many have ever read in Revelations and heard of the city Foursquare? 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. You know you're come to that city this morning? And you say, well, I don't see it. Well, I do. When the Lord told John to come up, he said, I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. You know who the bride of Christ is. It's the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish. And John, when he saw a city, the Lord said, you're going to see the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And you say, but John saw a city and its walls were jasper, its gates were pearl, its streets were paved with gold, and all the precious stones that this city was constructed of. Well, do we not remember that Peter tells us that we are living stones built a holy house in the Lord? Did you know that? That we are living stones. We are stones. I was thinking of that scripture this morning where Jesus entered Jerusalem. We're worshiping and praising and magnifying the name of the Lord. And some people were offended. Some people didn't like the ruckus. Some people were saying, make them be quiet. Make them be quiet. And what did Jesus say? He said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would cry out. Well, I heard stones crying out this morning. I heard living stones, precious stones, crying out in praises unto the Lord, and built together for a holy house, and built together for a city, the New Jerusalem, the city of God, and it's built of precious stones. My mind went this morning to the book of Malachi when he said there's a book of remembrance made of those that fear the Lord, that thought often upon His name. And He's talking about when the overflowing scourge would pass through, when the day that burned like an oven would come. He said, but these will be mine. These will be like calves of the stall, and they'll be mine in the day that I make up my jewels. Make up my, and I thought, Lord, that's the precious stones, and that you gather the precious stones that you build your temple with. And it's all just these scriptures begin to come together. But he says, that's where you're come this morning. I'm not looking for a wall of a city that's 1,500 miles. I'm looking for an innumerable multitude of saints, and that one day that the saints in this place and will stand with the saints of all ages who've known Christ in reality, who worshiped God in the Spirit, rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and had no confidence in the flesh, but an innumerable company of saints gathered together, that is the city of the living God. And when we gather into the presence of God and the Spirit of God comes into this place and fills this house, you can be sure that you have come to the city of the living God. And He says this, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And I'm not what I call angel crazy or angel stupid. And I think that we went through a generation that is an angel stupid. People going through commanding angels and talking to angels and as angel stupid. But I want to tell you, every time the Scripture mentions that holy place, that throne room of God, there's angels all about. And I want to tell you, when you come into the presence of the living God, into the holy place, come in the midst of an innumerable company of angels, and you're gathered there before God. It's not a mount that can be touched with hands. It's more real than that. And it is eternal. He says, into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Just as I read those words, general assembly, my mind instantly went to the great denominations. They have their general assembly. And they'll call their ministers and their pastors and their hierarchy from all over the nation, from all over the world. And they'll gather for their general assembly and they'll have their week-long gathering and to hear what the presbyter and, or the leaders have to say and hear from the Lord. And when I just read those, you've come to the general assembly. You've come into the gathering of the Lord where He's gathered together at His ministers, His saints, a kingdom of priests that He's gathered together. It's the general assembly of the kingdom of God when you gather together in the presence of God to worship God in the Spirit. He's calling from afar His sons and His daughters, His priests, His ministers, His handmaids, and His servants to come to the general assembly of God Almighty. He said, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. The church, Brother Michael was asking me this week. He's getting like me. I tell people I never ask a question I don't know the answer to. Really, I do. But sometimes. But he said, Brother Keith, you know what church means? He said, it's called out. Amen. To those that have been called out, He's calling in. Amen. And called out of darkness, called out of sin, called out of the world, called out of the carnal, called out of the farm. Amen. Blown out your stained glass windows. He called you out, but He's inviting you to the general assembly at the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. A gathering of saints whose names are written in heaven. Praise the Lord. What an honor. What an honor for the Lord to be calling you into His presence, into His Spirit, today by day, to gather. Why? Because it's the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. And He says this to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all. You come right before God. These are things that are not just theological
statements.
I want to tell you, when God, and I may start using that phrase a lot, blows out your stained glass windows, Jesus' words, where two or three are gathered together and I am in your midst, takes on a whole different meaning. It takes on a whole different meaning when you gather with two or three and begin to worship the Lord or begin to talk of the Lord, and all of a sudden something hits every one of you and you feel and you know and that the Lord has come in your midst. It's no longer just a carnal statement that you get up in a dead, dry service. Well, we're not new here this morning, but where two or three, He's gathered in the midst. No, it leaves being a carnal, dead scripture verse that you pull up, and it becomes a reality because it is a reality. And people are satisfied with carnality and say, but two, remember, we're two or three together. Oh, Lord. And then you gather with four or five or ten or twenty, and the Lord shows up in the midst and they flee. But He says, you've come to God. How precious it is to come and to know the sea. You see people worshiping God and just lost in the Spirit. Why do they have to do that? What's going on with them? They're standing right there before God. What would you do if you ever found yourself in such a place? You've come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And He's talking about Abraham and Moses and David, who died in faith, not receiving the promise. The Scripture says that they without us should not be made perfect. He said, but now they stand there with you rejoicing. See, you're not praying to Abraham. You're not praying to Paul or Peter or Mary. I want you to understand this. You're rejoicing with them. You're rejoicing with them. And to God, the judge of all, that's why it overwhelms me. You've come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus. Do you know why He's in your midst? Because you've come before Him. That's why He's in the midst. Because you're before God. And the angels of heaven and the saints of all ages are standing there. Do you understand that many of you were standing in the midst of the saints of the ages this morning? And Jesus was in the midst. He is in the midst. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I want to tell you, I want to speak to a lost person this morning. I was speaking to the lady over sales for 2 days ago, over things that we've got to be doing, And she said, well, what's going on down there? And I just began to tell her. And I don't know if she understood, but then I'd stop and cry. Not boo-hoo, but, you know, you can't talk. And she'd go, well, it's all right, it's all right. I know it's all right. That's why I'm crying, because it's all right. And begin to talk, and she began to go silent. And I began to tell her that. I said, it's not coming out of the pulpit. And she's silent. And she says, that's because it's real. She said, don't let man get a hold of it. And we began to talk. And I began to talk about the move of God and the work of the Spirit. Well, you need to do this. I said, no. We just need to see what God would do. And I'm going to brag on you, Brother Surface. And I said, we're not doing anything. We're just throwing a rock in the pond. That's all we're doing. And she said, well, your dad understands and he knows where you need to go and he understands what's going on. I said, no. No. And I told her, I said, I called her by name. I said, you can ask anyone in your office and they'll tell you we don't know what we're doing. And she didn't resist that at all. And I started to get off the phone. And she said, Pastor Keith, pray for me. It was almost like you ever had something that inside and you hope the conversation takes you there, but it doesn't take you there. She said, Pastor Keith, pray for me. I sin. I hadn't talked about sin at once in the conversation. I just talked about the presence of God. But she said, Pastor Keith, pray for me. I sin. I have so much that things in me that Christ needs to work out of me. And I called her and I said, you heard the answer in Sunday school. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His holy blood was shed to cleanse you from all sin and all unrighteousness. Just open the door that she blurted open. For some reason, she couldn't let the conversation end. But if you're lost, but I have sinned. As we gather this morning, as it has been service after service, we've not only come to the city of the living God, not only come to an innumerable company of angels, not only come to the church of the firstborn, the general assembly, not only come before God, the judge of all, and it's a fearful thing to stand before God, but you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And I want this church to hear me. The reason we so cherish a move of the Spirit of God is because when we've gathered in and the lost are with us, they've also come before Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the one that has blood that sanctifies, the one that administers this great redemption. I want to tell you this morning, we've come before Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and He stands in our midst, ready to heal, to cleanse, to wash, to give life, because He has this new covenant to give. So if you're a lost person, if you're one like this lady has talked about, but I have sinned. Do you not know where you stand? Do you not know where God has brought you before. And all of the things that we describe are so that you could be standing before Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and His blood of sprinkling that will sprinkle you. See that you refuse not Him that speaks as the Lord speaks to you. There's a passage in Joel, the second chapter, 28th verse. This is what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, the 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost. Would it be all right if He filled us all? I'm going to tell you, first He's going to cleanse all. But that's why He brings you before Jesus, the mediator. But Peter quoted this. Some were mocking and saying, these are drunk with new wine. And you know why that was mocking? Because you don't get drunk on new wine. New wine is the fruit of the grape. Yeah, oh yeah, these are those worshipers of Christ. Yeah, that new wine, it's pretty strong. That new wine got them. And mocking. Peter says, these are not drunk as you suppose. This is that. And he begins to quote this. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible of the day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now that's where Peter stopped. Last Sunday morning as we was ministering, this passage of Scripture came to my heart. This great prophecy that was on the day of Pentecost that Peter says, this is that. But it's repeated whenever God pours out His Spirit. And one of the things for this past generation that has been presented as the move of God's Spirit is the question, is this that? And I want to say, by and large, what most of the world has seen is not that. I will pour out my Spirit, and this is what you're going to see. Now, the sun and the moon be darkened, wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Many of these signs were manifest, you know, at the crucifixion and before. And I believe maybe another manifestation of these things. Peter was referring to what the people were seeing. The Spirit of God being poured out upon these. And they were prophesying. And they were speaking to every man in so many different languages, the wonderful works of God. And the people were in amazement, wondering, what does this mean? This was the prophecy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They hadn't had the visions yet, in the dreams yet. This was the beginning. The dreams and the visions would come and you would see them recorded in the book of Acts. How God would use. This was the first day. But they all began to prophesy. They began to speak the wonderful works of God. And it wasn't a, yay, thus saith God. They just began to open up and spill out. And I believe with all my heart that many of them, maybe most of them, maybe all of them, didn't even understand that they were speaking in someone else's language. But they were just telling the wonderful works of God as the Spirit of God was upon them. They found out they were doing it in languages they'd never heard, languages they'd never spoken, and proclaiming the greatness of our Lord and of our salvation. And the dreams and the visions and the manifestations of the Spirit. It was not but a few days later, I believe, that Peter's at the gate beautiful and speaks to that man lame from the mother's womb, saying, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he takes him by the hand and he arises and goes walking and leaping and praising God. And these things, and so many of these things were to follow. But before they saw that, before they saw a miracle of healing, before they saw the visions, Peter saying, "This is that which was spoken." And then Peter comes to that, "And it shall come to pass." And if there be any doubt in anyone's mind why my entire life serving God, that I have longed and wanted and sought to see that which is that, it's for this verse of Scripture. It's not the dreams and visions. It's not the tongues and other languages. It's not even the miracles and the healings that certainly shall come. It's what shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. What's he saying? You watch it. You watch it. If this is that, it will come to pass. Did you hear me? If this is that, it will come to pass. What will? That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And that's why my soul has longed and craved for the outpouring of the Spirit. When people are afraid of the tongues, or they're afraid of the manifestation, they're afraid that they don't understand. Yes, but you might drive someone away. I might, but if it will come to pass that whosoever will call, you say, well, that's always been the case. Look around you. Look in the world. And look at the forms. Look at the people in your lifetime that you've seen make professions and confessions and callings and all the religious things. And nothing changed about them. Nothing was transformed. Nothing happened. And tell me, it's always been that whosoever shall call shall be saved, shall be delivered. And I tell you, that is nothing but a dead, dry, cold, lifeless form. But he speaks of a reality that if this is that, then it will come to pass that whosoever, that's you. Everybody in this place say, that's me. That's you. Shall call on the name of the Lord. Shall be delivered. Now when Peter said it, in the way it's translated in the King James, he said, shall be saved. But he's quoting, shall be delivered. Well, actually, delivered and saved are the same word. If you're saved, you've been delivered. You've been delivered from sin. People say, well, I'm saved. And I say, from what? Because the promise is, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, where are we come to? Where, when we gather in the presence of God, where are we? We're at Mount Zion. We're in the New Jerusalem, the city of the living God. There is what? Deliverance. There is deliverance. When you are brought in, and I'm not just speaking to the saints this morning, I'm speaking to someone that said it won't work for me, and God won't do it for me. I'm speaking to someone that's been cold and standing off. Or I'm speaking to someone that knows that they're hopelessly lost and in fear of damnation. Well, I want to tell you the Lord has graced you this morning. He has blessed you this morning as He's blessed all of us in this place. Because He's brought us to Mount Zion. He's brought us to Jerusalem, the city of the living God. He's brought us to an innumerable company of angels, to spirits of just men made perfect. He's brought us before God. But most importantly, He's brought you before Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. With blood offered for you, ready to cleanse you, make you free, and give you life. And who will he answer? Whosoever shall call. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Why do I find myself crying over and over? Because I'm overwhelmed at where the Lord has brought us. I'm trying to comprehend the greatness of the promise as we stand there before God and before Jesus Christ. And I look out, and some I've seen with these eyes and some I have not. But I see souls that I wondered if they would ever be reached. And I understand that they can be reached. Saints of God, stay at Mount Zion. And it shall come to pass. Can you see this morning? Can you hear this? When when I came to the Lord. The church was in the midst of an outpour of the Spirit of God. I wasn't in this. They had come through a week of what they were referring to as the Holy Convocation. The Lord had spoke by His Spirit. I believe that this is not a meeting. This is a Holy Convocation. Brother Tom had been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Jeff will remember that time. And I sat in such darkness. My anger and my resentment and just getting worse and worse. I don't guess I understood it then. Maybe I didn't understand it till now. But Karen, simply trying to salvage a marriage that I was head strong on destroying. Drug me to church. And I've told you before, I sat there in such darkness, condemned for even being in the place. It's something that you feel okay in a club, and you're condemned for being in the house of God. And I still to this day don't know how I ended up at that first front pew meeting. But I didn't come to a pew. Maybe I never understood this, but I've been brought to Mount Zion. Because there were saints worshiping God. And in their midst stood Jesus Christ, the mediator of this new covenant. You know, I don't even know that I believed that He would. When someone told me, ask Him. Why would He? Why would He hear me? Why would He? But it came to pass that I was the whosoever that called on the name of the Lord. There's some whosoever's in this place this morning. you've been seeing something, it's puzzled you, it's but you know there's something there. You've been brought to Mount Zion. Right before God. Into the presence of Jesus Christ. If you will call upon Him. I won't. Stand, the worshipers, the saints gather. Just gather. Begin to worship the Lord. And then I want to speak to that whosoever. In the midst of these this morning stands Jesus Christ. Savior of all. If you're that whosoever, that just means I'm the one that wants what I see, what I feel. I need to be saved. And come stand in the midst of these saints. Come stand with us. And call. And call. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call see these things do not happen at the time of your choosing. They happen when God brings you to Mount Zion. When He brings you before His Son. And if you will call, He will answer. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Lord, I thank You. So come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let he that heareth say, come. Let he that is athirst come. Take the fountain of
the water of life freely. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Worship the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord. My Lord. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer. Holy, holy Lord. Lord, I love you, Lord.